This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
In a Ferrari and Jaguar, switch your four lanes in the top down. Money ain't a thing. Money ain't a thing. Wow. Back in high school. We are Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPNU. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Candy and Michelle, coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Before we get into Ohtani, we had some heated discussions moments ago. A lot of people getting personal with other people.
Nuno said I didn't like my family because I didn't buy them suites at the stadiums where I played my games at. And I'm like, do you know that the suites are six figures and up?
Yeah.
I'm not spending that so my parents can watch the game in a suite. My parents were perfectly fine sitting down by the benches, you know, decent seats, not the 50-yard line, but close. And they were watching the game. They were perfectly fine.
Didn't you say you threw them in, like, you know, at the old Vet or Eagle Stadium with Canty jerseys in the mix in between all Eagles fans?
No. So my dad refused to go into the Eagle Stadium without wearing my jersey. Because I told him, you know, the Philly crowd is a little raucous. You know, Pat Costello, you know your people. Like, if they found out that that was my dad, then they would treat him like they treated Clinton Portis's mom, which is not very well.
Right.
And so I didn't want that type of situation. So I would always, you know, make sure that one of my brothers went with him, and I would ask him not to wear the jersey, and he would say, absolutely not, I'm wearing my son's jersey. So I can't tell my father not to do that. But I'm also not going to put my dad in a suite because I'm worried about his welfare when he decides that he's going to wear my jersey no matter what. Like, that's a him issue. Not a me problem.
Technically, that's his name.
He told me that one time when I played poorly, too. He told me that was his name, and that I was embarrassing him by the way I was playing. I was embarrassing him.
He wore a human Yura jersey to the next game. It'd be great if your dad...
Nah, he didn't do all that, but I'm just saying he was mad. I mean, mad. I mean, embarrassed. Like, you out there messing up my name. And I was like, damn, Pops, I still play in the NFL.
I have two quick follow-ups here.
What's up?
What's the game where he said you're embarrassing my name?
Denver Broncos, 2009, Thanksgiving night.
Oh, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving night.
So the whole country was watching.
The whole country was watching. The whole family was watching.
Yeah.
At my house back in New Jersey, we played a road game. So when I got back home, they woke me up that next morning. And before we could celebrate Thanksgiving, they were like, this is what the paper's saying about you. You're embarrassing me.
That's the one you had to drop name. In coverage? Is that that game?
That is that game.
Where they ridiculously put you
in
coverage?
Why was I in coverage against Tony Scheffler? That made no sense.
Defensive tackle slash end in coverage against a tight end makes absolutely no sense.
Because that's going to work out. 330-pound guy covering a tight end.
Running backwards.
Good luck.
Great idea.
All right, final follow-up question. Did the Philly fans give your dad the business when he wore your jersey?
No, because my brothers were with him.
Okay.
And my brothers are my size, so no.
So your dad had his version of Big Dom with him.
Exactly.
Two versions of Big Dom with your dad.
Exactly, and I had the bail money on deck for that. So, Nuno, I'm not that cheap. Like, if it goes down, I'll make sure that everybody is good. I'll make sure I spring for them to get out of jail and lawyers' fees and whatnot.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get personal here. We can do the either or. Which one was colder? Was it that Nuno saying to you, why don't you like your family? Or then Pat turning to Nuno saying, basically, give up on the dream of having kids. You're
I did not say that. I did not. To be clear,
okay.
Nuno at one point earlier said, you know, if I ever want to have kids. And I said, at what point in someone's life do they have to stop saying, if I ever want to have kids? Like, at what
age?
Okay,
that I will give you this. That is better than what I thought you said, because you're asking a hypothetical around a person, a male in this case, getting, because the gender matters with this, getting to a certain place in life and then saying, maybe I should refocus. I would say, I don't know the answer, but I would never ask the question.
I mean, Pat, when can we get past the point where people start kid-shaming folks that are in their 40s that don't have kids?
That's right.
When can we get to that point? When can we normalize, you know, perfectly fine adults not having kids? When can we normalize that?
I don't think anyone's ever going to stop asking those questions, unfortunately.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying, you don't have to contribute to it, Pat Costello. I expect you to be better, especially when it comes to one of our teammates.
Yeah,
let's not put a stigma around 40-year-olds that don't have kids.
Yeah, but it's funny.
Who cares?
You could also adopt at any age.
Well, clearly Pat cares because he's the one that's asking the question.
You have kids? Great. You don't have kids? Great.
Exactly.
Live your life. However, happy, healthy, moral, ethical, whatever it is.
But I support Nuno having kids.
Kids are overrated.
I forgot the rest of the words of T.I. Rihanna, live your life, right? That is a good
spirit song. Spirit of a hustler and the swagger of a college kid.
Hello.
Great line.
That's me, all right. All right. So Shohei Ohtani signs a contract.
He's living his life, am I right?
Well, not as much as we thought he would live. I mean, we thought he'd live a little different life than he is right now. And it is a fascinating debate as to what's going on right now because Shohei Ohtani is going to make $700 million. But he's going to make $700 million over the course of 20 years, not 10 years. Over the next 10 years, he's going to make $20 million. He is deferring $68 of $70 million. I saw this yesterday, and I absolutely love it. Anytime in sports, I see individuals doing things to care about the team and winning more than they, in the moment, care about themselves. I'm not making him into some sort of martyr or hero. He's still going to get the $700 million. But he is creatively saying, how do I go about winning, giving my team the best chance of winning, and deferring the money and the idea he's come up with absolutely gives the Dodgers a better chance of winning than if you were to take it all this year and the next 10 years because the money they would have to spend would not be as high. Because remember something. People think, oh, there's no salary cap, spend whatever. There's no salary cap, but there's a budget. Business owners have a budget for their business.
And there's a luxury tax.
And there's a luxury tax. I love this. Smalls, I know you think this is ridiculous.
Well, I think it's ridiculous because it's not my team that's getting the benefit of it.
She's keeping it in the box.
Okay, so
if the Cardinals did it, I'm writing Shohei Ohtani a handwritten thank you note. He's got a seat at the table at Thanksgiving. But this is the LA Dodgers. They are already a talent-rich team. They're already a team that is adding a once-in-a-lifetime, maybe a once-in-two-lifetimes type player. And now you're telling me because he is so generous and creative and willing to defer this money to a later date that they're going to have the financial freedom to add more? I don't like it. And I don't like it because it's not my team. And I don't like it because the rich are continuing to get richer in the LA Dodgers.
Yeah, they've won 100 games for the last 5 years. And the only time they didn't was the COVID-shortened season, which it was 60 games and they won 43.
Yeah, they've come up short a lot. Yeah. They should have won many.
But I'm just saying, they're always going to be good. They're always going to be competitive. And they've shown that commitment to winning as an organization.
They draft well.
Which is why I'm cool with them going with the Shohei Ohtani deal. And here's the thing. It was Shohei Ohtani who suggested, or not even suggested, demanded that this be the format for his contract because, one, it allows the team to continue to surround him with really good talent in the heart of his prime, but then also with the tax deferrals, now he doesn't have to worry about paying California state income tax.
Smart.
Like, that's big for him, especially when you start getting to the numbers of $700 million. So all of it makes sense. It's a win-win for the club, for Ohtani, and for the people at the bank, apparently, too. Not so much for the tax office in the state of California. But I guess the whole point is this. For them to be creative in this way and now continuing to be looking to add, I think this is great for the sport of baseball. Because now everybody's going to be paying attention to what's next for the Dodgers. And will them making these types of financial commitments ultimately lead to a dynastic run with Shohei Ohtani as the centerpiece?
I want to make sure I understand the argument here that you're having. And I agree with you, Cece, because it is going to create the villain. Your argument is who did it, not that it can be done?
Correct.
Well, but then you're okay with it. You're just mad about it. Like, you're in general, you're okay with it. If the Boston Red Sox were to do this tomorrow.
No, I'm not okay with that.
Well, you're a Yankee fan. Okay. So then if the World Series champion Texas Rangers did this, you okay with it?
I mean, you're talking about a World Series champion, so it's, again, the rich getting richer.
But
I'm not against the concept of it because it's his money. He can defer whatever he wants. It's not against the CBA. It is all there. Any player could do this to the level of Shohei Ohtani. Well, no one's going to do it to the level that he's doing it because of the money.
Yeah.
And I appreciate his commitment to winning because that's what he's saying.
Yeah,
I want the money, but I really want to win. We knew that was one of the qualifications when he was deciding his next location is, where can I go to win? And he is reestablishing his desire to win, which I appreciate. But it just feels like, are you kidding me? Like, the Dodgers are already a team that is, they're so good. They're a team that you're year in and year out looking at to be in the World Series conversation. They add Shohei Ohtani to Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, and now because he's deferring this money, they can potentially add more. It just feels like, are you joking that this team is going to have more flexibility to get better if you're a fan of any other team in baseball?
I just don't agree with that, because as one Chris Canty said, you cannot microwave a championship. Even when people complain about the super team that was the Golden State Warriors, they did lose. They won the first two, but they lost the third year. There's no such thing as a guarantee for a championship. So you're sitting here saying, oh,
yeah, they lost in the 73-9 year, right?
Well, that was before Durant. But yes, they lost in the 73-9. They get Durant. They win the next two. They lose to the Raptors. So there's no microwaving, to use your term, a championship. So just because Ohtani is there does not guarantee you a title. All this guarantees is creativity to win, and a villain. How could that not be amazing? You love baseball more than anybody on this show. You, to me, I'm not trying to tell you what your take should be, but I am surprised that your take is not, this is amazing for the sport. That the sport found a way of infiltrating football season in a way that is logical and conversational to the masses here when you're talking about a star that big, a team that big, and a contract like we've never seen before.
I will agree with you on one component of your argument there.
Okay.
I love that they're now the villain, because I went from free Shohei Ohtani, get him out of the talent wasteland that has become the Angels, put him on a team that's going to have a chance to win, because as sports fans, we deserve to see that type of greatness compete for a championship every year. I desperately want to see him on that stage and see what he can do, and that's why I was pumped that he went to the Dodgers. And all of a sudden, that switched. I thought, you know what? He's deferring this money, and they're going to be able to add more. All of a sudden, they became the villain in my mind. All of a sudden, the expectations that were already sky high became even higher, because now this contract is not going to prohibit you from being able to add more. Then you should definitely win more than one championship during this window.
So let me give you an either or. You could have the contract as is with the Dodgers, or a regular full-fledged, let's call it $600 million and not $700 with the Blue Jays. Which one would you rather have?
If I'm him, or if I'm me?
As a fan and as a member of the media, as a talk show host, what's better for baseball?
Well, him being on the Dodgers, period, is better for baseball.
Okay, so then the regular contract could have theoretically garnered him a deal in Toronto. This contract puts him on the big, bad L.A. Dodgers. I don't see any bad on this.
But he could have done that on any other team.
Right, but it's not as interesting, unless he's on the Yankees.
Well, there is a downside if they don't win.
But that's good for us.
That's the downside for Ohtani. There's more pressure on him to win now than there ever was before. And I guess people would say, well, that's obvious with the contract. No, it ain't. Because if he gets this money with the Toronto Blue Jays, nobody's saying, oh, you've got to win multiple championships with the Blue Jays. People are saying that because it's with the Dodgers, and we know how the Dodgers get down. There is no limit to what they will do to surround him with the talent that it takes to compete at the highest levels of the sport.
I want to add one thing, because you're not only are you right on
they
that.
They could have an offseason where they spend $1 billion on two players.
Right.
I mean, Yoshi Yamamoto, they're saying that's going to be $200 to $300 million coming over from Japan. If the Dodgers are in on him too, if they land him, that's $1 billion on two players in one offseason.
I would argue that there's more pressure on the Dodgers to win, not because of Ohtani, but because of Ohtani's contract. Because of the fact they're not paying him $70 million, what are you doing in theory with the remaining $68 you now have available to you? And it doesn't actually mean you have $68, but I'm doing it hypothetically. So not only is there more pressure for them to win, you structured a deal which should allow you to have an all-star at every single position with the way in which you're willing to spend. Buster only, ESPN MLB Insider. Will continue the conversation about Ohtani next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two,
Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, you know when you hear that music, it's Buster. You know, the first time I ever met and talked to Buster Olney, I was in Florida, ESPN West Palm, where we're going next week, thanks to Celsius, Unsportsmanlike, going to Florida. Right around the spring training home for the Marlins and the Cardinals, etc. And that is where I was lucky enough to talk to Buster for the first time. And Buster Olney joins us now, ESPN MLB insider and host of the Baseball Tonight podcast here on ESPN. All right, Buster, the Ohtani contract, great for baseball or should be illegal?
I don't think it should be illegal, but I do think I'm hoping that it starts a conversation about sort of the smoke and mirrors nature of some of these deals. I do think it's, generally speaking, it's good for baseball from 30,000 feet that Ohtani winds up with a signature franchise. I mean, how long we've been talking about how Mike Trout, you know, the best player in the game for a lot of years, wasn't on the game's biggest stage. Well, now that's insured with Ohtani, the most popular player in the sport, known universally. He's going to be playing in a lot of meaningful games in October for the Dodgers, and that's going to draw a lot of eyes to the sport. But the way that the contract was unrolled, unveiled, and where we see the numbers now and understanding the smoke and mirrors behind it, that it's not really a $700 million deal. It's more like a $450 million deal, which, by the way, is a record, a great contract. I do hope it leads us to some conversation about how we should talk about these things. It's a lot like the NFL contracts, where it used to be that, you know, a team would sign a player to extension and the headline was $300 million, and then you found out it was $50 million guaranteed. Let's get to the actual bones of what the deals are.
Buster, with the deferrals in the Ohtani contract, seemingly the Dodgers will have some financial flexibility in the short term. Now, one of the bigger names that's still out there and during hot stove is Yoshi Yamamoto, the pitcher from Japan. Are the Dodgers in on him? Could they be making a play for another big money player this offseason?
100%. Look, it's interesting. They signed Ohtani to this huge contract, and they still haven't addressed their biggest need, Chris, which is their rotation. It was a complete mess at the end of the year. They don't know if Clayton Kershaw is going to pitch for them again, so they desperately need help in their rotation. And look, they're one of the teams talking to Yamamoto. The Yankees are in it. The Mets are in it. The Giants are in it. It's absolutely a perfect storm of big market bidders for this guy who's almost unprecedented as a free agent. You normally see, you know, high-end starting pitchers hit the market age 28, 29. This guy's 25 years old. He throws 100 miles per hour, which is why a lot of people in the sport think that in the end, the bidding will be closer to $300 million for Yamamoto than $200 million.
Gosh, that's so crazy.
If the Dodgers get him, Buster, that could be $1 billion in two players in one offseason.
Without a doubt. And you know that it'll start the rumblings among small market teams, like, what are we doing here? I mean, think of, you know, Bobby Witt, the Kansas City Royals with Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the great young players in the game. He's got a couple of years of service time. And as the Royals are sitting here and these numbers are, you know, skyrocketing, you know, what do they feel like their chances of keeping him long term are? It's an existential question for baseball that's been, you know, been, I think, growing over the last 45, 50 years.
And to that end, Buster, do you think we'll see any changes on that front with baseball?
I don't, because, you know, the horse went out the barn door about 120 years ago when it comes to revenue sharing, you know, among the teams. The NFL got to the place that it's in with its television contract because the owners of the New York Giants, basically agreed to go along with it. And I don't think you'd ever get a situation where the Yankees, the Dodgers, you know, the big market teams would say, yeah, we want a level playing field and we want a, you know, a situation where all teams are spending the same amount of money. They're just not going to give up that advantage. They're not going to give up the revenue in the way that the NFL teams are comfortable doing.
Buster, I want to do a retrospective on the Angels era with Shohei Ohtani. You have You have Ohtani, you have Trout, you have zero playoff success having those two players on the same team for many years. How do you view that, or how would you describe, I guess is the better question, that era of Angels baseball?
A complete failure. I mean, there's no way around it. When you start with Trout, you know, who in the prime of his career, we were talking about him maybe finishing up as considered as the greatest player of all time, you know, multiple MVPs. And then you add the most unique talent in baseball history, a guy is dominant on both sides of the ball. There's no other way to describe it as a failure. And I know, you know, they had an internal hope that maybe Ohtani would come back to them because, you know, he was so comfortable there. He knew that he wasn't going to be asked to do extra stuff for them. He could just focus on baseball. And so the other day after they learned that the Dodgers won this bidding, there's no doubt. Like, there was a lot of frustration within the organization. And moving forward, I mean, think about what happened last year, the last 2 years. They declined to trade Ohtani in the summer of 2022. Artie Moreno, their owner, killed that because he wanted to keep him and try to convince him to stay. They did that again last summer. They wound up trading a lot of assets to add to the team before the deadline, gutting their farm system. And so as they're sitting here today, I know Ohtani's gone. Their farm system is gutted. They desperately need an injection of pitching. And they're going to have to bank a lot on a change in culture with Ron Washington taking over as manager.
Wow. We're talking with Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider, host of the Baseball Tonight podcast here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Alone, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Buster, just a couple of follow-ups on the contracts here with Ohtani. Were the Dodgers the only team willing to do that? And will this start a trend now with other teams deferring some money with other players?
I don't know if other teams were willing to go to the level the Dodgers did. Sort of dress up this contract as a $700 million deal. You know that the Blue Jays, who seem to have been used, and by the way, that's not unusual. You know, agents do that. Teams will do it in trade negotiations. But the Blue Jays got used. I think the Angels were clearly would have been very willing to pay him a lot of money. So I don't know for sure if someone had the exact deal that the Dodgers had on the table. You know, I think there were, you know, been reports that this idea was Shohei Ohtani, the Dodgers increased their offer in the last 24 hours by $100 million. I can tell you, there are a lot of executives around baseball watching this situation, which has been filled with so much disinformation, and they're hearing those things saying, come on, that's a bunch of crap. Like, the Dodgers, you know, the feeling is that Ohtani probably knew all along he wanted to go to the Dodgers, and his representation just had to push the Dodgers a little bit to an uncomfortable place. And where they wound up landing was a situation where now Ohtani's agent can say, I was the first agent ever to hit the number five, $500 million, number six, $600 million, the number seven, $700 million, even though, as we learned yesterday, those numbers aren't really real. Mm-hmm.
Buster, how many championships do the Dodgers need to win to view this Ohtani contract as a success?
Yeah, I think a couple for sure. Look, you know, they're now going to be judged on a different standard because the first three hitters in their lineup are first ballot Hall of Famers and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and Ohtani. And what fun it's going to be for Dave Roberts to arrange those guys in their lineup. But that team desperately needs starting pitching. So it'll be interesting to see how far they go with Yamamoto. And obviously the structure of Ohtani's deal is going to allow them, because they don't have to pay anything for 20 years. In the end, the Dodgers are going to have opportunities to add other guys without affecting their bottom line in 2024.
Sounds like a great time to sell the team in 9 years before all this money kicks in. Just throwing that out there. Buster, thank you so much for the time. We always appreciate it.
All right, guys. Great to talk with you.
All right. There he is, Buster Olney, of course, ESPN MLB insider, host of the Baseball Tonight podcast. An amazing story around Ohtani deferring all of this money and whether or not it sets a trend for other players in baseball. Coming up, CC's got power rankings. There may be one team left out that will surprise some people. We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Now that the dust is settled on week 14, it's time for Canty's NFL Power Rankings.
We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen. Chris Canty has his power rankings. We start with five. We work our way up to one. CC, what do you have for us?
All right, let's kick it off this week, week 15. Number five, the Philadelphia Eagles. Do we have the number five sounder?
Number five.
The Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't get boat raced in back-to-back weeks by the 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys and not slide down the power rankings. I still kept them in because I do believe in the potential of this team. The schedule gets a lot easier down the stretch. I mean, they're kicking it off with the Seattle Seahawks on the road, but then they've got the Giants, Cardinals, Giants. So that's a stretch of games where they can get healthy going into the postseason. But, yeah, their defense allowed 109 points over the last three games. I'm starting to get a little bit worried about the back seven of the Eagles' defense. Their pass rush isn't what it used to be last year, and so they can't cover up the back end of that defense becoming slow and unathletic. And so that's the problem that I have with the Eagles moving forward. If there is an Achilles heel for that team, that would be their back seven in pass coverage. Next.
Number four.
The Cleveland Browns. They don't have an issue with their pass coverage. As a matter of fact, they don't have an issue with anything on their defense overall. You're talking about the number one total defense in the NFL and the number one defense when it comes to defensive EPA. Think about it this way. This team has won one game with four different quarterbacks this season starting. They have won games with four different quarterbacks starting this year. The Jacksonville Jaguars on the road this year were undefeated up until this past week when they went to Cleveland and ran into a buzzsaw. The Cleveland Browns are for real. They now have a quarterback in Joe Flacco that gives them competent quarterback play. They have balance on the offense. They can actually throw the ball, and that's why Cleveland is one of those teams that you don't really want to play, especially when football starts to change as we get closer to the playoffs. Next.
Number three.
The Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys. Now, I have committed to not saying anything negative about the Dallas Cowboys for the rest of the regular season, and I'm going to honor that commitment. Cowboys fans, you got the MVP of the league in Dak Prescott. I said if Dak won that game on Sunday night against the Eagles, head-to-head against a guy that was one of the top three MVP favorites in Jalen Hurts, he would be the front runner for MVP. And sitting here today, he's got the shortest odds of anybody to be the MVP of the league. I mean, since week eight, Dak Prescott has thrown 22 touchdowns to only two picks. The guy is playing out of his mind. We haven't seen this version of Dak ever in the National Football League, and it's going to complement that defense and what they do well, which is playing with the lead and teeing off with those pass rushers. So I really like where the Dallas Cowboys are at. They got a tough stretch of games coming up with the Buffalo Bills on the road, the Miami Dolphins on the road, and then home against the Detroit Lions. If they come out of that unscathed, then the Dallas Cowboys are not only a team that has an MVP at quarterback, but they're also a team that I would say is eye-to-eye with the San Francisco 49ers for best in the NFL. Next.
Number two.
The Baltimore Ravens, the best defense in the AFC. They're second in total defense, second in defensive EPA in the entire league. But what makes me believe in them is what their offense has turned into in year one with Todd Monken. Lamar Jackson, three touchdown passes against the LA Rams, all three to different receivers. Odell Beckham Jr. on an explosive. Isaiah Likely on an explosive. And then Zay Flowers with the game-winning touchdown. Well, the go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter and the two-point conversion for good measure. They went into overtime against the Rams, found a way to win it in OT on a Tylan Wallace punt return for a touchdown. But because of the versatility they now have on offense, because they can actually play from behind and win, which they showed against the Rams, I am buying into the Baltimore Ravens because they got a lot of different ways that they can go in order to win football games. They can do it with defense. They can do it with the passing attack. They can do it with the run game. They just showed they can do it with special teams. This team is well-balanced, and they understand the importance of all three phases working in concert. Next.
Number one.
There can only be one top dog. That's the San Francisco 49ers. I feel like I should apply the logic that we used to have for the Kansas City Chiefs to the 49ers.
What's
understood ain't got to be said. I mean, when they're healthy, this is the best team in football. Nobody's beating them when they got Trent Williams, Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle healthy. Nobody's beating them. They're just not. And what they've done up front in terms of being able to fortify that pass rush is going to prove dividends because this is a team that's going to jump on you early. When they get a lead, they can salt the game away by running the football, and their defense can rush the passer. That's a formula that wins championships. So I believe in the San Francisco 49ers when they're healthy. Nobody is beating them. That's the only question I have about this team. So that's the list, Smalls. 49ers number one, Baltimore Ravens second, Dallas Cowboys third, Cleveland Browns fourth, Philadelphia Eagles fifth. You're my accountability partner. Any objections, any omissions?
No objections, just a little surprise that the 8-5 Browns got a spot on the list, even though the Kansas City Chiefs, 8-5, coming off a loss, did not. Because you always say what's understood doesn't have to be said. So what are we, confused and loud now when it comes to the Chiefs? Like, what's the opposite of that?
I think you can apply that logic. The last six games, they've only won two of them. They're 2-4 over their last six games. How can we not be concerned? How can we not be concerned with what we saw with Kadarius Toney, the frustration that Pat Mahomes had on the sideline trying to bark at Andy Reid, what we saw from Chris Jones yelling at teammates and coaches on the sidelines in that game against the Bills? They're telling me they're worried. Like that's the thing. If the Chiefs are telling me they're worried, how can we then, Evan, not be worried about where they're at?
They don't look like themselves on the field and off the field. What we saw on Sunday night is not them. Late in the afternoon, early evening, with them complaining about the officials and the way they're handling their post-game press conferences, that's not like them. Chris Jones, part of the ceiling fell off during his press conference. It looked like Washington all of a sudden with the Commanders in the stadium there. But you bring up the Browns. And I want to make sure I get a definition from you actually on something before I go to this. You said unexplosive. That sounds like it has a definition, not just a description. What does that mean exactly when you're talking about the Ravens' touchdowns? You said Isaiah Likely on an explosive play. Is that like more
so an
than-
explosive play for a pass play? It's over 20 yards. For a run, it's over 10 yards.
Got it. Okay. So I just want to make sure in terms of definition for that.
Those are explosives. Yeah.
The Browns at number four, very interesting. The Browns also, in my opinion, if I understand this right, are playing with fire a little bit. Adam Schefter tweeted yesterday, Joe Flacco has reverted back to the Browns practice squad, and at the same time, he's also eligible to sign with another team's active roster. Despite any interest, Flacco wants to remain in Cleveland. Totally understand that.
No.
If you're the Steelers, if you're the Falcons, if you're a team that is hovering, why not talk to a couple of your vets, see if they can restructure, and offer this guy $10 million for the rest of the season?
Joe Flacco don't want to go nowhere else.
Make the Browns pay him more. Then if you're the Steelers, screw with your
opponent
a little bit.
You could say, listen, we're going to sign you off of the practice card and take him away from them as an option at the quarterback position. Now, Joe Flacco would not have any intention of playing for one of those other teams, at least I wouldn't think, without having talked to him. But I guess that would be bad form for one of those other teams to use that type of gamesmanship.
Why?
Does that make sense?
But if I need a quarterback, why wouldn't I not want to get – he's clearly proven he can still play-ish in the NFL. Now, their defense helps, and their Amari Cooper and David Njoku and their tight ends and their running game help, and their offensive – like the Browns are helping him play good football. But if you're telling me I can go get him, why would I not go get him if I need a quarterback?
The question remains, I mean, maybe he doesn't want to go to those other places. If he wants to stay in Cleveland, you kind of want to respect the wishes of a guy like Joe Flacco that's accomplished what he's accomplished and at this stage in his life and his career, if that makes sense.
It does, but, I mean, everybody's trying to win. And I understand if
I can take this option at quarterback from you,
why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't I? Even if that means he's not going to play for me.
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying.
Does he have a say? I don't know. I don't think I fully understand the rules. Does he have a say if I want to just sign him? Does he have to also sign, or can I take anyone off of a practice squad?
Ooh, the practice squad rules are dicey when it comes to players that are vested in the NFL, and Joe Flacco is vested. Now, I know when you're not vested, you don't have a say. Teams can pluck you. I'm not sure how the rules work when you are a vested veteran in the National Football League on the practice squad.
I would assume you have to be right, because why would the Browns couldn't then put him back on the practice squad there?
Exactly.
It's just playing with fire. I'm just saying, I'm having the conversation of I'm another team. Wait, they're going to put him on the practice squad for any period of time? How do we go get him for us? I'll do it this way. If I put Joe Flacco on the Atlanta Falcons right now, who's winning the NFC South?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a toss-up between the Falcons and the Bucs.
You have more confidence in the Falcons than you do without him, right? If I put him on the Steelers,
if I put him on
the Steelers right now.
Yeah, I would have more confidence in the Steelers than I do now.
Just throwing that out there.
But he got a good situation in Cleveland.
He has a great
situation. He knows he's going to be in the playoffs in Cleveland.
Yeah, don't mess with him. Put him on the active roster. Don't allow us to even have this conversation and wonder about these rules.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you one thing. If that were to happen, that would be our most unsportsmanlike moment of the day, which we will get to coming up. It is Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPNU. SiriusXM 80, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, including ESPN West Palm in South Florida, 106.3, as we are going to be headed to Florida next week, thanks to Celsius. Very much looking forward to Unsportsmanlike in the sun. All right, a couple of unsportsmanlike moments of the day, or the last 24 hours or so, things that happen that make us laugh, make us cringe, weird things that go on in and around sports. First off, a quick note, two losing streaks in the NBA. The Spurs have a 17-game losing streak, and that's not the longest losing streak in the league. The Pistons have a 20-game losing streak right now.
Yikes. Awful.
They were 2-1 to start the season, then proceeded to lose 20 in a row. So sorry to Javante, our producer, who is a Pistons fan and from Michigan. All right, next. Rex Ryan yesterday was on Get Up, and he speaks for himself. Just take a listen.
Guy right here, line the heck up, all right? And I'm sorry, he should be onside.
Hey guys, the fact that Rex said it's a toe,
I don't like.
Okay, what'd you say?
I just said this is a toe I don't like. I like toes. I don't like this toe. Hey, come on, line up on freaking side for crying out loud.
See, now there is no way for us to do a serious show if we're going to go there, Rex. This is not the moment for it.
I apologize.
Hey, all right. Kadarius Toney, if you turn Rex against feet, you a bad man.
I mean, Rex Ryan leaning into what you just heard was amazing.
Oh, yeah. We love a self-deprecating king.
self-deprecating or true? I mean, that's the thing.
I think that's just true.
It's true, but he's also true. Poking fun at himself, yes. Which I love.
That's amazing. That blew up the internet yesterday. It was awesome that he did that. All right, now, here's the other thing. So Monday Night Football last night, the Giants get a win over the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in and around Tommy DeVito became huge and is becoming huge stars. First, let's take a look at some of the things and describe some of the things with his family. Because pregame, they were giving out chicken cutlets to everybody.
Of course, why not?
They were giving it out, and they had all the food there, the tailgate, but they were just handing out, not like a charitable handout, I'm not saying that, but they were providing...
It was a tailgate.
Tailgate, chicken cutlets, chicken parm to everybody. In addition, you had his agent that shows up in a fedora and a suit and kind of the mock turtleneck thing.
He looked
going
like
on.
One of the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, and he's there, and he's on the field before the game, and he is out there also during the game kissing... And with the dad. And back, like Isaiah and Magic before a game, if you think back to the late 80s, early 90s, where they do the little smooch on the cheek before a game, it was all over the place. Every big Tommy DeVito play. More interesting to you guys, the agent or the family for the DeVitos here?
The agent. The story from the agent has got to be fascinating. Like, I know a lot about Tommy DeVito's background because he grew up in North Jersey. So you kind of got an idea of the story. Smalls, you're very familiar with him because he's an Illinois guy.
That's right.
I have no idea who the agent is.
Sean Stellato.
I want to know everything about Sean Stellato.
Stellato.
Sean Stellato.
Yeah.
He looks like he's lived a lot of life. I want to know more about Sean Stellato.
You know, I want to know more about the entire family. I know you're saying that you know a lot about the upbringing, but there's a whole squad here that we could learn about. And I bet everybody in the family is a big personality and has a different story.
Smalls, I got an idea for you. Talk to your famous friends with the Bravo Network, Andy Cohen and the Housewives, and see if we can get a DeVito family TV show.
Wait, this is the New Jersey Shore, but with a football twist.
This is amazing.
Tommy coming in. You know, he's the hottest quarterback right now. We're all talking about it. He's partying. He's reaping the benefits of being the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. But he's waking up in the morning, and his mom's there. Yeah. And she's got some questions, but she's also serving him some food.
She's doing the laundry.
There's a lot happening there.
Exactly.
I love that show.
We can keep it in-house. We'll keep it on ESPN+. We don't need to go to Bravo. Bring it here. Let's go.
Well, I just said that because she's friends with Andy Cohen and the Housewives.
I want to be friends. I want to be friends with Andy
Those
Cohen.
Those are her people.
There's a big difference. I really want to go to Watch What Happens Live. It's the number one thing on my 2024
You should be
bucket
on
list.
What Happens Live. You absolutely should be on
I've never been to Watch What Happens Live. I want a guest bar show.
You should be a guest, period.
I'm not famous enough.
God, oh, what I got to do
here
for
we go.
You.
Here we go.
I'm not famous enough.
All right.
But it's the number one thing on my 2024 bucket list.
Yeah.
I live in New York City. I should make that happen.
That's the number one thing?
Yes.
To go to Watch What Happens. Great show. But there's nothing. Like, you know, we do a national show every day. You have, as a spectator for Watch What Happens Live.
Well, as a bucket list.
Okay.
She should be on Watch What Happens.
I agree. She's not a spectator. You are big enough.
She hosts a national morning radio.
You could be the celebrity bartender.
We're big in airports and gyms.
Does Andy know
exactly.
that?
I'm
we got to let Andy know.
I feel
know.
Like Andy's getting that workout in the morning. He sees your face up there. Yeah.
Andy, absolutely. Call me.
Exactly.
I can only make a vodka soda. Yeah. But.
Can we? I know it's your bucket list, but can Cece and I help? Can we adjust? How about be on Watch What Happens Live, not be at what Watch What Happens Live.
I would love that. I just don't think I'm famous enough to get the call.
Again,
maybe
can we change
day.
Your bucket list? Do it, please. All right.
I wish I could change what happened at the end of that Dolphins-Titans game because it screwed up my parlay last night. It screwed it up. We were good, Evan. We were good. I just needed the Dolphins to win by more than 10 points.
We weren't good, but we still good?
No, we not good. Oh. They cost us money. How can we be good and they cost us money?
That's not good.
So what are we good for tonight?
Tonight we're going to go to the association. We got basketball picking back up. You know, in-season tournament's over. The disappointment of the Celtics not going a little bit further in that, I think, spurns them a little bit. They've got the Cleveland Cavaliers at home, so I'm going – over 2.5 made three-pointers for Jason Tatum. Over 5.5 rebounds for Drew Holiday. And the Celtics to win by 10 or more points. So I moved the line from 10.5 to 9.5. So we got the Celtics winning by 10 or more points.
Okay.
Over 5.5 rebounds for Drew Holiday. Over 2.5 made three-pointers for Jason Tatum. It pays out at plus 340. So we got to get back on the horse. Had a good weekend. Stumbled a little bit last night, Monday Night Football. We got to get a win tonight.
All right.
Got to get a win tonight.
There are some other
winner winner cutlet dinner.
By the way, I think Bradley Beal is supposed to come back tonight for the Suns.
Is he?
Allegedly.
Is he allegedly?
I mean, you want to talk about some of the big offseason moves that everybody forgot about? Like, oh, yeah, the Suns have a new big three with Kevin Durant, who's amazing, Devin Booker, who's amazing, and the other guy who never plays.
You know why we don't miss him? Because we're not used to seeing Bradley Beal play basketball this time of year, even if he's healthy.
Or really any time
He plays for the Wizards. Like, when do we pay attention to Wizards basketball? February.
Can I throw in a bonus on sportsmanlike moment?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
The Lakers putting up a banner for their in-season tournament.
Oh, I had that in my notes. Bad job by me. Good job by you, Pat. I mean, that was brutal. We're really going to do that? This is the Los Angeles Lakers. These are not the Hornets. No, let's be fair. These are not the Hornets. These are not the Wizards, as we just mentioned. It's, you know, even the Pistons, who have won titles but have lost 20 in a row. You cannot put up a banner for an in-season tournament if you're the Los Angeles Lakers. You're one of the greatest organizations in all of sports. You have one of the greatest players in any sport in the history of sports in LeBron James. You want to note it with a plaque en route to the locker room at Crypto? Fine. I cannot have it as a banner with all the other Kareem Wilt at an in-season tournament? That's what we're doing? Kobe, Magic, and Austin Reeves over Tyrese Halliburton? Oh, my God. What a joke.
If it serves as motivation throughout the rest of the season for them to win a title, then I'm I'm cool with them leaving the banner up.
I mean, they did win the first one.
The only world that exists where it's okay to leave the in-season tournament banner up is if they win the championship in the same season. If that happens this year, then I'm okay with them leaving the banner up. If it doesn't happen, you got to take the banner down.
This is the Indianapolis Colts runner-up banner, my God.
I know it's the first one, but you got to take it down, though. You got to take it down. You got to.
Then what's the point of even printing it?
It's not the same weight as a normal championship going through the two-month gauntlet that is the NBA playoffs.
You don't say.
And 4-7-game series. It's not the same.
Oh, you don't say.
If they do it, they can leave the banner up. Can we agree on that?
Fine.
If they win the championship this year, they can leave the in-season tournament.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.